Welcome to AI Today. I'm your host, Dr. Alan Badeau, and I want to start with something that, you know, I've gotten a lot of emails about it, but I just have not, covered it during, the entire 3 years that we've been doing this. We're going to talk about using AI in the financial markets. Now, this is not professional advice by any stretch of the imagination. It's just giving you some ideas on how these capabilities can be used, how can they, be applied to a whole bunch of different types of things. And it's not all around algorithms and trading. In some cases, we're going to look at how you can reduce your risk and how you can, try to really do some financial planning over the year. But I want to start where AI is already embedded, deep in the wiring of everything that we see, and it's really around the algorithmic trading piece. So you've seen some things around crypto, you've heard some things, there's been a drop because the algorithm said, you've got to sell at a certain point or you buy at another point. Every second, the markets generate huge, streams of prices, orders, news, social sentiment, you name it. It's out there all the time. And AI models are, really the engines that are digesting that information. And, in a split second decision, humans just can't match that speed or they can't match that scale. It's just, pure streaming all the time. And at its core, algorithmic trading is about really being able to, turn a trade idea into some sort of code and then letting it execute or automatically put something out there in the market. And, AI pushes this even further by looking at these variety of training models that are out there, whether they're historical information that's looking at prices and volumes and volatility, patterns. And you hear about economic indicators all the time, but it's really just like the same sort of thing with whether it's, satellite data, whether it's phone data, whether it's software, you name it, it's still looking at ways that it can analyze these patterns and then make a suggestion that just says, hey, when the conditions are grand, are perfect or they're lined up, let's buy an asset or we're going to sell an asset. Fundamentally, that's all they're doing. I know a lot of folks, when I say the AI doesn't care, it really doesn't. Data is data. If you've got the right model, it's going to crunch the data the exact same way. And that's what it's doing with, these markets. And, so think about, what does that really mean from a practice standpoint? Why can't everybody do it? Why can't I just go buy software and, and allow it to just take over my entire portfolio and let it do those types of training? Well, here's the thing, AI systems, they can scan hundreds of stocks, currencies, crypto pairs, you name it, all at the same time even. And it's going to be constantly updating those probabilities, right? I mean, it's going to look at it and say, okay, from where the prices are, they might move X, Y, and Z in the next few seconds, minutes, days, whatever. A hurricane's coming. It might move this market a little bit more than this other market. Construction, industries usually, you will see a shift in those when, storms come and hurricanes come, and so as it's going through these things, it's looking at really the ultra short term. It's also looking at, ways that it can look at a little bit farther out, depending on what sort of trader you're in. And the other thing is, as it's looking for these patterns, right, it's looking for momentum across an entire sector. And in some cases, the AI is just producing so much information, you need another way to interpret that information. Whether it's, I'm just going to focus on, big movers, I'm going to focus on, the short-term stocks, those sort of things. But, it takes an expert really to be able to process even that information that's coming out. And so you've got AI that's looking at the, as I said, pattern recognition, subtle patterns, things that the human eye is probably going to miss. It's looking at forecasting, predictive forecasting. And that's really where a lot of folks have started to put a lot of effort around, you know, using machine learning to look at the future of prices and the volatility associated with that. Then you've got, of course, the sentiment analysis that's looking at language models. Oh, I've read this, I'm going to react this way. Social media is doing this, I'm going to do this. I see something on Facebook, it's negative. Well, maybe I'm going to do something else. And so, and then the last piece is around the construction of your portfolio. It's AI is suggesting that you combine these sorts of assets in a given level of risk to get a certain amount of return. Those are the four big areas where AI is being used. And, you know, you've seen pluses. A lot of folks have done fairly well, but a lot of other folks have not done quite as well. Now, are you blaming that on the model? Are you blaming that on the timing? Are you blaming that on the settings? Well, there's a lot of variables that go into that. And, you know, folks have asked me, should I do day trading and can I use AI to do day trading? My response to them has always been, have you done day trading before? Because AI is not an easy button. Remember, AI is never an easy button. And all it does in some cases is create more risk for you. It exposes you to more risk because you're still not fundamentally, you don't understand, you know, how to go about things, when to make those trades in some cases, or if the AI can't make a decision, then that falls on to you. And in many cases, the AI is just really transforming that risk. It's saying, you know what, I'm going to use these rules. And in some cases, you may say, well, if I lose more than X percent, I want to make sure that, you know, I do something else associated with that, whether that's, you know, invest more, buy more, sell more, whatever. But it's all around trying to manage that risk. You know, how do you correlate those positions? How do you come up with what your overall portfolio looks like? What happens when the market suddenly shifts? Well, AI is only going to give you a certain perspective associated with that. And, you know, I don't know about you, but looking at my exposure to different, you know, platforms, to different assets, to, you know, whatever that is, any way that I can help manage the risk is really going to be the important piece. Now, again, the story cannot just be about speed and profit. It is never that easy, right? And, you know, if there are three scenarios, you can have speed, you can have profit, or you can have accuracy. And what do they say? You can only get two out of the three usually, right? But those are real fundamental concerns because, you know, firms are coming up with new models trained on similar data, and they're hoping that, hey, maybe, you know, maybe we'll catch lightning in a bottle, right? We will be able to say, okay, as the market swings, our AI is going to be able to predict X, Y, and Z. But now folks are starting, the regulators especially, are starting to ask some questions about the models themselves. They're asking about fairness. They're asking about transparency. They're asking about that whole systemic risk when making decisions that are associated with these black box models. Because only a few people in reality know what's actually happening in there, where they're getting the data, how that's being used. Researchers are looking at that and they're saying, you know what, ooh, I could, you know, I could do this, this, and this, and I may be able to get my get an advantage in the market space. Well, unfortunately, it doesn't always happen that way. And in some cases, it can get you in more trouble than not, because it could do, you know, you could reduce competition, you could look at conspiracy things, you could look at, you know, collusion. There's an awful lot of things that you have to be careful of. Now, those aren't, of course, for the normal, you know, everyday trader, but it is something to think about. And so for individual investors, the takeaway is very simple. You know, the markets that you trade in are increasingly being shaped by AI, just like everything else. Whether or not you use it or not, it's really going to be up to you. But the important thing is that there's more than a price that you see on a screen. There's more than, the decisions that you hear everybody on TV talking about. Oh, the AI said this, the AI did this, the AI's portfolio is this, right? Understanding the fundamentals. It always goes back to the fundamentals. What data is being used to build the models? What data is being used to allow them to make those decisions? All of those things that apply to every other way that you're going to use AI also apply to this algorithmic trading. So you've got to keep that in mind, because big shifts, even sometimes the AI is going to get it wrong. Big shifts can have a very negative effect on, these models in some cases. They may not be trained to be able to handle those. And so keep that in mind, use it the right way. And if you choose to use it to get information, that's great. But if not, hey, you know what? It's about 80% of the rest of the investments crew out there. So I, stick around though, because what we're going to do, we're going to talk more about this, but we're going to talk about how you can bring AI really closer to, your future around your retirement, managing your portfolios, and looking at trying to automate your financial life and keep track of your expenses. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to AI Today. I'm your host, Dr. Alan Badeau, and this week we're talking about using AI in the financial markets. Last time, last segment, we talked about really around algorithmic trading. And should you be a day trader, and should you use it for all of those other things that are taking place? Well, in this segment, we're going to talk about trying to zoom in from the worries about Wall Street to really bringing it home to Main Street. So the same techniques that drive algorithmic trading are really sitting in your pocket right now. And it can be a robo-advisor, it can be an AI planning tool, it can be everything in between. As you look at these platforms, they all take your information, they take your goals, they take your time that you have, your risk tolerance, and then they try to build something and really help you manage it. It's really tailored specifically for everything that you're trying to do. Now, here's basically, though, how they work, okay? They're going to walk you through a set of questions. And you're going to answer those questions. They're going to ask, demographic information, like how old are you? When do you want to retire? How much volatility can you tolerate? What are your big expenses that you have coming up? Are you going to college, buying a home, looking at, around the world vacation on some cruise or whatever that is? It really doesn't matter, but it's trying to get as much information about you as it can around your financial abilities and those sorts of things. Then what it's doing, it's going to translate all of that information into a risk profile, and it's going to look at your asset mixes, and it's going to say, oh, how much do you have in stocks? How much do you have in bonds? How much cash do you have? Nobody's going to have pennies anymore soon, so we won't have to worry about that. But then it's also going to look at some potential alternatives, maybe, land or whatever that is going to be, right? But under the hood, the AI is trying to monitor, the markets and your portfolio. It's going to look at how it can rebalance what your allocations are and look at some drift associated with that. And when can you use some tax efficient strategies, like, a tax loss harvesting type, opportunity? If you have a financial advisor, then some of those things are being done automatically for you, which is fantastic. And they're trying to take advantage of those things. And maybe they're using AI to do some of this stuff, but it gives you an advantage. It lets you know really about your risk profile, which is exactly what we talked about in the algorithmic training before, but it's different in that it's focused even more so on that distribution of risk and shifting of the risk. Now, here's the thing. Again, AI is going to add a real important layer to this, and that's really around being able to, you know, that whole personalization at scale, right? It's looking at, you know, instead of a one size fits all trading, you know, method, like we see some commercials and, you know, some, you know, folks talk about on TV, you know, machine learning really allows you to cluster clients in, you know, more nuanced segments. Maybe you're interested in art and you have a particular flavor around that, and that is what your alternative investment strategy might be. Well, AI can help look at that, and it can say, okay, based on this, this, and this, you have to hold it for so many years, and then you'd have to sell it, right? Now, how it reacts, though, to certain types of volatility is really going to be dependent upon how often you are interacting with it. Just like every other AI system out there, if it doesn't interact with you, it doesn't get your information, it doesn't see your tendencies, then, you know, it's not going to learn what your habits are. And so that makes it harder for it to be more accurate and, you know, really turn, you know, today's information that it's crunching into an opportunity for you in the future. What we want is over time, of course, that it's going to be, you're going to be interacting with it. You're going to be, talking about certain investments that you have, really keeping it up to date, because then it can recognize things as your advisor and help you, you know, from a guidance and an educational perspective. As you're trying to do some of these things, you know, we're all trying to lower costs in whatever manner we can. We're trying to get more information about the markets because, you know, that's really the biggest gamble that a lot of folks are taking. You know, everybody says, oh, go to Vegas and gamble. Well, no, go to Wall Street and gamble. That's really, a bigger gamble and, you know, for a lot of folks. And we're trying to add some discipline to our lives when it comes to, you know, our financial planning and well-being. How often have you heard, oh yeah, sell high, buy low, you know, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, like Mike Tyson says, you got a strategy till you get punched in the face. And when that market starts to drop, you know, what are you going to do? A lot of times folks will not, you know, sell high and buy low. They'll sell low because they're nervous about, it continuing to drop. And if you would have held, maybe it would have been a better, outcome for you. Now, that's just part of it, right? The whole consistency piece. But again, it's not a miracle solution. There are always going to be risks around portfolio adjustments and how these platforms are relying heavily on historical data. If you look at the boom that we've seen in the AI industry in the last, 2 years, you know, whoever would have predicted where, NVIDIA started to where they are today? Whoever would have predicted where a lot of these AI companies, data center companies, those sorts of things would have been, the play to make, you know, for your portfolio for the last 2 years? If you are heavy on the tech stocks, that's great. Now, if you're on the crypto side, that's not great. You know, stat we saw, this morning actually was, President Trump has lost $1 billion because of the crypto investments that he had. If he was using AI, not a good algorithm, not a good tool set, right? And so there's always going to be risk because you can't predict the markets. That's the only thing that is certain. You can't predict the markets. All you can do is try to use as much information that you can, let AI crunch through the numbers for you, and then try to get an advantage on, you know, oh, I see this pattern. I see this could be the next biggest, product, or, you know, here are, you know, some potential clients who are, you know, using this, and, you know, I want to try to take advantage of that. So, you know, oftentimes, That's the sort of thing that you have to do. AI and wealth management, it's not just about robots. It's not just about replacing advisors. If anything, you don't want to replace an advisor. It's more about advisors and those platforms using AI together. You know, there's, would you take an AI over Warren Buffett? Probably not. Some people would argue maybe you wouldn't even take an AI over some members of Congress, right? Different discussion for another day. But, you know, it's always the pair. AI gives you perspective, gives you more perspective, gives you more scenarios. Listening to a seasoned advisor who can help transform and really make that information make sense to you is always going to be the winning model. So just be prepared. That's all we can always say around that. And so coming up next, we're going to talk about really, you know, that shift from growing money to protecting it. And we want to make sure that we give you some ideas on how AI is being used to detect fraud and really around managing your risk across the financial system, because it continues to get worse. And so we're going to give you some tips. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to AI Today. I'm your host, Dr. Alan Bedeau, and we're talking about using AI in the financial systems. So we first segment, we talked about algorithmic trading. And the previous segment, we talked about trying to come up with, you know, allowing it to manage your portfolio, seeing, giving you some advantage around that. In this segment, we're going to talk about something that's a little bit more scary. And yes, it's, you know, I've seen it, I've worked on some of these things, and it's, you know, it's important, and it really drives an awful lot of things that, you know, I talk about on this show. And it's really around fraud. And, you know, in this case, in the financial system, it's really about watching your money potentially be taken from you in real time. And I'm not kidding about this. One of the scenarios that, you know, recently was working on is around, you know, there was a client who got a fraud detection notice on their cell phone. And as they were on the phone with one of their the service desk folks, they had another fraud detection alert that just hit. And that other fraud detection alert was a significantly larger sum of money. And as they were on the phone again after about 8 minutes, then they saw their entire bank account be drained right in front of their eyes. And that's the type of worry that folks have. That's why I always try to tell you, you have to protect your digital identity. But in this case, now you're trying to protect everything else around it. And so one of the things I want you to think about is, from a bank alert question, you always have to ask yourself, is this a transaction that you made, right? It's just that simple. But that's just the tip, okay? It's tip of the larger, what I would say, the AI iceberg. Because behind the scenes, there are different tools that are being used. There's different, you know, folks that are trained on trying to, you know, really sniff out this kind of stuff. There's payment networks that are trying to, you know, lean heavily on machine learning to monitor a lot of the transactions that are taking place and really spot some of those anomalies. There's different algorithms that, you know, even I've developed that are trying to even spot, you know, things that you can correlate together that allow them to have a little bit more advantage than the hackers. We want to stop fraud before it hits your account is really the, you know, at the end of the day. And that's what you want too, right? So traditionally, let's talk about traditionally how some fraud systems work. You would have a card It could be used in, you know, a couple of countries, or you'd have to tell, for instance, like American Express, oh, I'm going out of the country. I'm going to use my American Express card over wherever, France, we'll say. And it would allow you to use those transactions and, you know, perform transactions in that country. Well, you know, if you went anywhere else and tried to use it, it might trigger an alert. It might not work. But now we've gotten much more sophisticated. AI allows us to really go beyond that and start to look at the behaviors, the spending habits of certain customers. And it's saying, okay, you know what? Where do they usually spend? How much do they usually spend? And even what time of day do they buy things? Are you up buying things at 2 o'clock in the morning? Maybe you're on Amazon or, you know, the TV shopping network, whatever that is. And, you know, it's looking at all of those things and how you transact with companies or with, you know, different investments even that you're making. That's important because, you know, if there's a deviation from that, then AI is going to see that and it's going to trigger something. Now, that doesn't mean that when it triggers it, it's not real. It just meant it saw a difference in the pattern. It saw a difference in your behaviors and it threw a flag up and it said, hey, you know, let's be cautious. And we're going to not allow that account. And we're going to, you know, to that transaction to go through. And we're going to take a look at it. That's really what it's trying to do. It's looking at patterns. Again, patterns. It's looking at real-time scoring. You know, did you just spend $600 on slippers? Either that's a great, you know, gift to give out to an office potentially, or somebody has decided that they're going to, you know, try to take advantage of you. So it's looking at things in real time. Scoring, transaction scoring, risk scoring, you know, fraudulent versus your normal behaviors. Especially, where did you use it? Did you use it at 3 a.m. in, you know, Florida when you've never been to Florida before and you don't have those kind of habits, you know, spending habits? Well, it's gonna flag that. It's also looking at alerting and blocking certain things as it sees those kind of suspicions pop up. Having that feedback loop that goes from the AI to the decisions, to the outcomes, to the models, so that they can continuously learn, is going to help them prevent, you know, making those kind of mistakes. So that's why sometimes your card will work in certain locations, and other times it won't work in other locations. And that makes a big difference. And if you can get ahead of things, then at the end of the day, that's going to make it a lot better. So think about that. You know, it's sometimes it's hard, right? Because it's scale, and with everything that's going on, you know, a little bit can make a huge difference. And, you know, you've got larger banks that are processing more information, more transactions per hour, and that allows AI to be even more accurate from, you know, from that perspective, which is fantastic. But in other cases, it could be flagging some things that it should not be flagging. And we all know that false positives are a huge, huge opportunity for folks to work on in the AI space. And that's what a lot of folks are doing. We want more, you know, legitimate, you know, transactions to go through, of course, than we want, you know, fraud stoppages. You know, easy example of that is say, for instance, you got a new number and you had to get a brand new phone. Well, you already logged into your bank account. You've done a lot of things with that phone already. Maybe you didn't update the number, but you have been checking it online on that same phone. You go out of the country, you try to do something, and boom, it gives you an issue. You call into the service desk doesn't recognize the number, and so 20 minutes later, you're still on the phone working through a false positive. That's part of the whole opportunity to try to reduce the amount of, you know, fraud and different transactions that will take place. And so, again, these models are trying to predict some of that stuff. They're trying to predict your behavior. They're trying to predict how you're scoring and how they can make it much, much, much more efficient. Because, you know, if you get flagged all the time and users are unhappy with a certain card, they're not going to use it. It's just like everything else. If people are on, you know, not satisfied with stuff, they're not going to use it. And that's not what folks want. And it creates bigger problems if you think about it. You know, market risk, volatility, you know, different sorts of crime opportunities that can take place. All of those things go into these AI models and trying to predict what that risk is going to be. Now, as always, you know, there are regulatory, there are ethical concerns, there are, you know, questions that go along with that. For example, if a model denies you credit, you want to know why. You want to understand how come, you know, it didn't give me a certain amount of credit, but it gave somebody else in a different situation. If it flags activity that it sees as suspicious, you know, you don't want to be trapped in some sort of black box with no explanation, no recourse, nobody to talk to that can, you know, help explain those things. So again, regulators are looking at those, and they're looking at focusing on that model risk and the management around that. Who's making the decisions? Are they, you know, are these machines, these models, are they producing the right documentation to support those decisions? Just because an AI makes a decision and gets it right doesn't mean it used the right way to do it. So you've got to look at a couple of different things along those lines. Is it also consistent in its decision making? Because if you have large swings in how these decisions are being made, that's not good. That's actually just as bad as you know accuracy. And so as you are looking at those kind of things, you know, how can AI help protect you? But it also has to make some of those decisions around, you know, financial services, and just sometimes it gets it wrong. And that line, it used to be very easy to see where that was between the protection and the exclusion portion of that. But now we're running at such transactional speed that it's really impossible to not say that AI is not involved in the process somewhere. And you deserve to understand how much bias is in those. How's that going to shape your financial future? And, you know, over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, if you have some big plans, how is that going to impact those plans? And so the only way you can do that, you got to talk to your bank. You got to talk to whoever you're, you know, is providing you those financial services, because you deserve to understand what goes into that and how they are making those decisions. So, you know, I know that was a lot of information I just threw at you, but I do want you to stick around. We're going to talk about, you know, how we can look at really the front end of that relationship and saying, you know what, this is how AI is going to change how you are interacting with banks and, you know, these financial apps every single day. And that's going to be important for you to recognize both personally and from a business standpoint. And so stick with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to AI Today. I'm your host, Dr. Alan Badeau. And, you know, the first three segments was really, we talked about risk as much as we did the day trading piece, or the management of your portfolios and everything in between. But in this one, we're going to talk a little bit different. We're going to talk about how is the face of AI in finance. It's not trading, or, and it's not a fraud model. It's really almost the chatbot in your banking app. and that virtual assistant on your phone, or the smart tools that are helping you do all of these other things. As financial services is shifting, they're using more AI to support, you know, customer service calls, very much in line with all of the other vertical markets that are out there. Should not surprise anybody that they are also trying to save costs with these. And so what does that mean for you as the user of these tools? If you call and you have, you know, AI answering it, are you being told that it's an AI bot? You know, is it generating your personal recommendations, or, you know, some of your financial goals? What's that digital experience that you're having with that tool set? Now, since ChatGPT came about, it's gotten somewhat better. It's also gotten a little bit worse in some cases. Could provide, you know, bad advice because the model's just wrong. These modern chatbots really are using those tool sets to say, okay, you know, you could ask it a question like, why was I charged this fee? Or how much can I spend this month? Or, you know, what other things you want to do with your cards? Can I get a limit increase or whatever that is? But what they're doing is they're pulling all that data, they're crunching it together, and they're categorizing how you're spending. And then they're just telling you in plain English, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. And that's great, right? But it's very impersonal. As models get better, of course, they can handle more tasks end to end. We've talked about that so many times, right? It's that entire workflow, because there is a workflow that's going on behind the scenes that you don't see. All you see is that information that they're pulling from, you know, whatever your accounts are, and presenting that to you in a way that they think is easy for you to digest, and maybe not answer, you know, ask a lot of questions. But what our goal is we always talk about this, is that we want AI to work with humans so that we can raise the performance of humans and allow them to do things that they couldn't do before, right? But if you never get to talk to a human agent, a lot of people don't feel that's a good way to go. But it does allow banks and, you know, some other financial institutions to lower those costs, because lowering the costs also means that, you know, that you, the consumer, should in theory get a little bit of a price break, or they don't have to escalate certain things, whatever that's going to be. But it also means that you should be able to get an answer quicker. That example that I gave to you, if you think about it, if the person that had called into the service desk that saw those fraudulent transactions taking place, if they could have gotten through that call quicker, got the identity faster, looked at the financial transactions faster, looked at all those other indicators faster, then they would have been able to shut his account down and potentially, you know, save them a lot of money from watching their entire bank balance be drained. Those are the sort of things where, as AI is driving, you know, decisions and looking at ways that it can interact, it becomes more about the human and the AI interaction than it becomes about the AI by itself. That's always been the message. It always has to be the message. So looking at ways that, you know, you can use those tools to your advantage around budgeting, for example. Don't just pick one that tells you numbers. Pick one that you're going to interact with. Pick one that you're going to use a lot. Pick one that's going to really something that you can tailor to your individual goals and desires. It could be, you know, cutting spending. It could be saving for a house, whatever that's going to look like. That's going to help you progress. It's going to give you advice. It's going to let you, you know, potentially build that, you know, that emergency fund that you may need, or whatever that's going to look like. Maybe you get a new job. What are you going to do with the new money? That sort of stuff. It's also going to give you some just-in-time advice. We talk about just-in-time everything else, but not just-in-time financial advice. Maybe it might tell you, you know what? Maybe going on that vacation, not the best idea. Maybe buying this car, not the best idea. Maybe doing whatever, not the best idea. Maybe don't take out, you know, whatever amount of money you're going to take out, you're going to get an overdraft fee. That kind of information, you know, at your fingertips really is something that you, you know, need to learn to use. And all of that is about experience and working with that tool set. You know, we've joked right before where I say, whenever I give a presentation, I always feel like now I have to introduce the AI because, you know, I've been working with it so much and it's close. I feel bad when I don't introduce it, right? That's the kind of experience you need to have with your financial tool sets and your financial AI tool sets that you're using. Because then you can start to look at scenarios. If I do this, is it a benefit or is it a negative? If I do this, same thing, perspective. That's all we want to make sure that we're using these tool sets for. Maybe a little advice to, you know, to say, you know, not the best idea. Wealth management, same sort of thing. It doesn't matter. It's whether it's a voice assistant, whether it's a, you know, conversation interface, does not matter. You really have to have your some sort of co-pilot that's going to help you, you know, move these, you know, through these times, because, you know, we see so many fluctuations. We see, you know, inflation, you know, fluctuating. We see the job market fluctuating. We see a whole bunch of things that make people feel uncomfortable. And then when you combine those together, then, you know, that's where folks have a very difficult time, you know, and oftentimes the easiest thing to blame is AI. Oh, AI is doing this, AI is doing that. Well, use it to your advantage. Look at your portfolio, get answers, ask it questions, what if scenarios, those kind of things. And then you can even say, hey, you know, explain it to me like I'm not a professional investor, for example. Have it break it down for you so it's very easy for you to understand. It's no difference in the financial services market as it is in, you know, the medical space, where I told you, don't have it diagnose your problems. Have it tell you what questions you should ask your medical provider. It's the exact same thing. And if you use it that way and you allow it access to certain types of data, then your transactions, your balances, your behavioral patterns, all of those are going to really start to fine tune what these models are for you. And it's going to react better under different situations. And so maybe it won't do a false positive of you. Maybe it'll give you a little bit better advice. Maybe it'll let you look at some, you know, be more transparent with you. That's what we're trying to do. Financial institutions, they can't use AI without getting the data necessary from, you know, from customers. We know that, you know, but at the end of the day, again, you've got to make sure that you're smart with this. You can't trust it for everything. You can't trust it to make all these decisions. You are the one that are, you are responsible for making those decisions. AI is just going to give you an awful lot of perspective and some questions to ask to help support those goals that you have. So if we take a little bit of a step back real quick, you know, we've talked about four different, you know, segments that, you know, the story with AI is pretty clear. It's everywhere. We knew that, but it's everywhere in the financial system also. How markets move, how portfolios are built, how fraud can be stopped, you know, how you interact with your money every day. And those are the big questions. And I think moving forward that, You just can't say, oh, you know, AI can do this, this, and this. Now you have to start to ask. You have to ask, okay, I know that AI can do this, but how's it governed? Who's the beneficiary of, you know, these models and how they're acting? You know, how is it going to be fair? How's it going to be transparent? And how's it really going to align with our needs as customers and humans? And if you're not concerned about those and your digital identity and that information, then you should be, because it is going to impact everybody in the next 3 to 5 years. Could be even 3 to 5 months. That's how quickly it's really being adopted. So, you know, I hope that you've thought about some of these things. I hope you were able to learn. I know I tried to answer as many questions in this episode as I could around, you know, really where it plays in the financial markets and how it can benefit you. So, you know, hopefully it was very, you know, useful for folks. And, you know, next week, we're going to talk about data centers again. We're going to look at some new information. I think it's going to surprise some folks. So thank you. And remember, be smart. You're not the robot. You're the human. Use it that way. We'll see you next week.